Hello, everyone. Welcome to our is it transatlantic or is it trans-Pacific?
I was like, God, you were going to go for there. I was like, where are you starting this? Trans what?
Welcome to our transphobic podcast. we are doing this. Firstly, apologies. This week's is slightly late. We aren't the best at technology, either of us.
It was also funny that my fault. I messaged you going like, right, what day? Well, we're going to have to try and do this today. And you were like, I messaged you to do it last night. And I was like, shit, a couple of...
I know, it's fucking... it's fucking unbelievable. Because I'd suggested a time and you were like, that sounds grand. And I was kind of sitting about going, I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing here. But... I'm sure Ryan's got it under control and I'll get a link at some point. And then I went, oh, maybe he's got a shitload of gigs, I won't bother. And then,
at that moment, I was sitting watching The Gentleman.
Well, oh, yes.
Yeah.
A class film.
It was, yeah.
So Ryan is in, I've just realised that I fucking look greasy as out in this. How's Australia?
It's great. I'm allergic to everything. It's very funny.
Excellent.
For some reason, this can't even come out, but I've got I look like a Japan flag. I have just a red circle around my head and my hair. Right. It's like psoriasis, which is meant to be go away with me when I get sun, but apparently in Australia, it's just like, yeah. I've been sick at least half of 50% of my time here. It's been very funny.
Fucking hell. Jesus, how's the gigs been?
Gigs been great. There was like literally one bad one. One where like 150 people just stared at me going, what is this?
Yes. Right, tell us about that one. Yeah. Don't give a shit about the good ones.
The rest of them have been great. It's just the moment where it's the first time I acknowledge I went, fucking hell, I've heard that the crowds can be a bit touchy here at times, you know? In Australia. And I went, all right. And then I was like, he's full of shit. Like, you know, I remember Sloss used to complain about Adelaide. And and then I went and I was like, he's full of absolute crap. I was laughing with it. And then just because Jean was here. So I met up with Jean beforehand. So Jean comes to the show and she was just like, Daniel's always like that. Don't worry. And she was there for it. She was there for the opening joke where everybody just kind of went, oof. It was just like a collective one person going, yeah, no.
Yeah, I think it's the classic opening joke, yeah.
Tis I. I've been writing stuff, though, while I'm here, which is handy. Because it's like...
Well, that's good.
Because it's like a complete free-for-all. You're here for a month and you actually have time, so you're like, all right, I'll get 3-4 jokes in every night. So...
Yeah, man. So is it... what are you doing, local?
What?
Local material?
No.
Australian-based material?
I have one Aussie joke that gets me into them. Which is basically, it's fucking shite here. Thank God there's a sauna somewhere to cool off in the evenings. That's all. They love that. Thank God the hotel's got a sauna. They're all like, brilliant.
Who's this guy? Who the fuck is this?
Who's this cheeky chap? And after this.
Is that a new jump?
That is a new jumper, yes.
I was going to say, wow.
don't fucking start with jumpers. I haven't been wearing jumpers even, all right? Obviously, but this is because that the apartments are all like air conditioned. It's a big thing here, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's cold.
Do you know what I'm wearing?
What?
That's making it sound like we're on a sex call there. Like, take a guess what I'm wearing. I'm wearing an hoodie.
Oh, I love them.
Are you aware of Oud?
I have one.
Oh, my God.
I have one.
Oh, fuck, that's incredible.
I'm raging because I was going to go straight for you, and I went, I have one.
They're literally, like, we put off buying them for ages because we thought it would become just like a fucking slovenly thing where we'd just never, ever take them off. And my God, I never take this bastard off.
Yeah.
I drove back up from Liverpool one day with it on. just literally that. And I was like, should I put my jacket on? Should I put a t-shirt on when I went in to buy petrol? Well, I thought, hoodie all the way. Just walked in there like fucking Clint Eastwood. Like,
hold on, did you not have like, what happens if you crashed and they found you? They ripped you out with the jaws of death. They're like, this cunt's got slippers and a hoodie on.
Yeah, they'd be sad because the world would have lost a cool motherfucker that day. So.
Coming out to Amy, we couldn't save the hoodie.
Oh. Yeah, I know. Imagine it just gets folded up and put on my coffin at the funeral like a flag. And then pass to Amy.
At least he died in comfort.
So how's like the nightlife been and shit?
Do you know what the nightlife has been here is basically like we've been walking past. Apart from everyone looking like a supermodel here for some reason, everybody. It's very funny when you're on stage, like trying to abuse a couple. And the good's basically Ryan Gosling. And you're like, oh, the fucking head new cunt.
Yeah. Aye.
I was about to go, I mean, and the women too, like.
I don't know. That was a nice wee mention of Ryan Gosling, even though you lost that debate. So,
do you know, every time the nightlife is currently on my walk home from the venue, I walk past this bar called the Exeter, and it's where just basically in the exact same seats, basically Mickey Bartlett, McFerry, and Dan Willis are sitting pretty much every evening. So you can either go, I better take a different route home if I'm not drinking tonight, or else,
getting on it with
and
them,
then you're walking past going, God, I hope I don't walk into these boys.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. What's it got? The Exeter?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's just that.
That's what I call my arsehole.
The fucking Exeter. Do you know, we're going to the zoo after this.
I didn't. See, when you said we'll go to the zoo, I assumed that was part of the festival or it was one of the things. I didn't think you meant the actual.
Yeah, we're just going to the zoo. We're just going to the zoo. We got
Adelaide Zoo.
Yeah. So hopefully there's some red.
Any good?
Hopefully there's some red pandas.
Well, I won't go.
I'll go after this. Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah. I'll tell you on next week's spot.
Who are you going with?
McFerry, Mickey Bartlett, Luke Benson here, Mark Simmons, with five or six of us. All right.
Oh, cool.
I want to see red pandas.
Why do you look? Why?
They're great.
What?
They're great. They're like the best animal.
I think they're the shitter of the two pandas.
Are you fucking kidding me, man? I've got a.
Is there only two?
Red pandas and pandas. Oh, I give it to you. Red pandas are a bit smaller. Like, you know.
Right. Aye, but
they're.
So what makes them red?
They're red.
What?
You don't know they're red.
No, but what makes them red?
What do you mean?
I do know what a red panda is.
What do you mean?
I've seen the film.
What film?
There's a film. I think it's actually called Red. It's like either a Disney or a Pixar film, where it's like a wee Asian kid, and it's like a metaphor for a teenage girl having her period for the first time, basically. But she gets angry as fuck, as women are wont to do. on their periods, and it's like every time it's. I mean, I say I've watched it. I saw the trailer, and then my kids watched it. And they told me a bit about it, so I'm giving this very much third hand here.
Well, okay, but
as far as I know, there's an Asian kid that when she comes to get her period turns into a red panda.
That's insane. But I want. I'm going to do that now for the. We're going to do that for the podcast if I find it. That's mad enough.
Oh yeah. I'll find out what it was called.
Okay. Well,
do you know what it is that makes them? But no, that was a genuine, honest question, because obviously all pandas are black and white,
okay,
right? And there's a specific thing that makes the red panda red. Do you know what it is?
No. Are you gonna...
Communism. It's their communist tendencies. They were black and white, and then they read Hegel and Marx, and they're now communist as fuck, so they're red pandas.
They're red because they're embarrassed. embarrassment. they're tiny compared to the rest of them.
Oh, fuck is... God, it's made me laugh a lot. So what time is it there just now for you?
It's 9 a.m., half nine. 9:20. There's a half an hour. Nine. I didn't know these existed. There's places where half an hour time difference.
Yeah, I can, because I had a look earlier on what time it would be in Adelaide. So it's like 10 at night here for me.
Yeah.
It's nearly 11 actually now. Is it? Oh, fuck, it's nearly 11. So it was half 10 that you said, and that's 9 for you. So I had no idea there was half hour.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Time zones.
I don't know. It's fucking stupid, anyway. I think it's because they don't. I think these lad refuse to do daylight savings, is what happens. Well, that doesn't.
Yeah.
Someone told me that, and I was like, that makes less sense to me now.
I remember the only time I've been in Australia, I remember saying, because I was in Sydney, and I remember saying to one of the comics, if I hired a car and drove to Perth, like, how long would it take me? And all like that. When are you stopping? I'm like, I'm not stopping. I'm fucking Mad Max all the way, right? Straight line, how long would it take me? And they were like 4 days. And I was like, what? How fucking insanely big is your country? This is ridiculous.
That is insane. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, somebody was complaining about being jet lagged last day, and I was like, where'd you come from? And they were like, I came from Perth. And I was like, what?
That's bullshit.
Yeah, you can't get jet lagged in your own country. They might have been over.
Nah, because there's got to.
They may have been overreacting.
There's got to be, what, like three? There's got to be like three time zones in Australia.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Because how many is there in America? There's Eastern time.
Yeah, Central time. Western time, I presume.
And then Western time.
I think
so three. Four at best.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not getting jet lagged. You're not getting jet lagged losing or gaining 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah. No, not really, no. I wouldn't say so.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Do you know what? I've been showing the kids this week.
Oh, no.
Me and Amy and the kids. I've watched the Back to the Future trilogy.
Oh, great. Have they not seen it?
Never seen it. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on them. Because it's genuinely one of those films that if they didn't like it, then questions were going to start getting raised as to
they walk into their
how long I was hanging, how long I was hanging around for, to be honest. They fucking loved it, man.
Oh, great! Well, that's handy.
Absolutely fucking loved it. And it's so bizarre because me and my wee brother used to love it as kids as well, right? And they laughed at the same bits that we used to piss ourselves laughing at.
Oh, good.
Like the bits that are funny, but then bits that aren't supposed to be funny, but you suddenly decide. Like, there's a bit in Back to the Future 2 when old Biff goes back to 1955 to give young Biff the sports almanac.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in his car, and young Biff just turns around and goes, "Get the hell out of my car, old man!" Right? And me and my brother used to piss ourselves and do that impression to our dad every single time we got in the car and saw him in the driving seat. We'd just be like, "Get the hell out of my car, old man!" And they found that was the funniest bit that they found in the whole film.
That's great.
It's bizarre.
I love the third one. I love Back to the Future 3.
It was a lot better than I remember it being.
Yeah, yeah.
We watched that one tonight. I loved it, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I thought 3 was absolutely class. Yeah. I think it's a lot of people kind of brush over it a wee bit.
That's my favourite iteration of Biff, of the Tannins. Mad Dog Tannin. He's my favourite of all the Tannins.
Mad Dog Tannin's great.
I think he's fucking hilarious, man. And there was a couple of bits in the first one as well that I knew were coming up, because that's the one I know the best. And there was a couple of bits where I was like, I wonder if I'm going to have to explain shit to the kids here, or if it's just going to wash over their head like it washed over my head. Like, for example, the bit where his mum basically gets sexually assaulted by Biff in the car.
It's insane.
And I was like, are they gonna say, what's he doing? What's he doing? And I didn't know how to answer it. I was like, but luckily they just completely over their heads.
Great.
No questions whatsoever, I was delighted about.
It'd be even funnier if you did pause it anyway. You had got away with it. What's happening here, kids? It's rape.
Yeah. I get diagrams out like Doc Brown. I was like, right.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, Christ.
You probably wish you were chatting about... you probably wish you were chatting about thing tonight, Back to the Future, compared to what fucking film I've gotten messages going like, why did you do this?
Genuinely the worst, but it might be the worst film I've ever watched in my life.
Do you think this is the worst film we've done?
It's easily the worst film we've done. Easily. Like, it's not even, like, The Core was a piece of shit, right? P.S. I Love You was a piece of shit.
I've dropped them all in.
The Notebook was awful.
You dropped The Notebook, was right? You, though.
I did drop The Notebook, but this wasn't even shite because it just wasn't our type of film. It's just shite. Yeah. It's like, there is nothing about this that is good in the slightest.
I remember that. So if you don't know what we're talking about, by the way, we are doing the 2007, I think, or something like that. Classic. I say classic. Not one person in this world has ever referred to this as a classic.
No.
Good Luck Chuck. I remember seeing this in the cinema when it came out. I was a wee horny Jessica Alba fan, so I was like, get me in there.
See, I was going to ask, is that the reason you went to see it?
Oh, jeez, God, yeah. She was number one by a million miles.
Aye.
For most lads' teenage years.
Yeah. Do you know, I actually don't find her attractive anymore now after this film. That's how bad this is, right? I consider, like, if I was to give a kind of Roger Ebert fucking quote on the poster, right?
That's...
It would be, this film turned Alba into a monster. That's how bad this film is.
That's the most scathing thing you could say about this, because she's unbelievable.
I found
this
her physically
repulsive,
physically impossible to look at the end.
Do you know what my favorite thing about this is? Do you know how shite this film is? We'll get into what the plotline is, but Jessica Alba in this film, the funniest thing about it is she's obviously looks like Jessica Alba, but the only way they tried, they were like, now Jessica Alba in real life actually is very funny. She's actually pretty funny in a load of films. But in this, they were just like, the only way we'll make her appealing or like a normal person is we'll just make her clumsy. That's her entire personality. Just be like, she's clumsy. That's her massive fault.
Yeah. But listen, there's clumsy, right? And then there's what they make her do, right? Which is, right, fair enough, falling over things.
Running to poles,
pushing pull open doors, all that kind of shit. That's not, she fucking stabs the guy in the back, right? With two dental implements. Then electrocutes him, right? That's not clumsy. See how she falls all the time? She fucking, in the penguin enclosure, she slips and smacks her face off the ice, right?
Yeah.
Now, I imagine that's not the first time that she's done that kind of thing. How is she still attractive? If she's that clumsy, why doesn't she look like a fucking rugby prop forward by this point? Cut. The amount of blows she's clearly taken to her face. How is she still that stunning?
You're trying to say like a cauliflower ears, that'd be so funny.
Exactly. But she'd surely have broken her nose at least three times.
No, in fairness.
So that would be all fucked up.
The fall on, right, first of all, the fall on the ice, she smacked like the back of her head and then came out and she was like, oh, chipped my tooth. But really, I was like, right, first of all, I was like, if they put the x-ray up, they'd probably like, oh, shit, no, and your skull is in smithereens.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
chipped
tooth.
And also...
When she does that, she's drowning. Like, if you take it that hard, you're drowning under the ice. Because our fucking stoner brother, isn't he? He's doing fuck all. He doesn't even realise she's gone. Like,
yeah, he's fucking... Do you know, like, when you just said, like, stab the person with implements, she falls over and the tray of stuff flies into his back. And I was like, what is this? What did this dentist have planned? The instruments that he had...
I know.
They're like...
No, I know. Aye, these are... They aren't like... They're scalpels.
Butcher knife?
It takes two scalpels to the back. What dentist uses sharp implements? that? Like, they're all drills. They're all electric, right? It would never have gone in.
I like to
the angle wasn't there. These are sharp, pointy fucking things.
I like to do it manual. I like to go in freehand.
Oh, my God.
The best dentist in
just
town.
Just such shite. Like, even, right.
I remember this being, like, dreadful. But I didn't remember it being this fucking terrible.
No. The last thing I'll say, while we're on him being a dentist, right, before you tell us the plot, the fucking, quite frankly, ridiculous plot of this, right, he is a dentist, right? His best pal's a plastic surgeon who exclusively only does breasts. That's all he does. That's literally all he does, right? Now, I'll get to him very, very soon, right? But they share a floor. What fucking office building is this where there's a dentist and a plastic surgeon facing each other?
It's like the same waiting room.
And they share fucking customers. And what are the chances of the two of them staying pals? And then just none of it makes. What? First of all, there's not a chance that fucking prick's becoming a plastic surgeon, right? He's thick as mince, right? There's not a chance Dane Cook's becoming a dentist because he's thick as mince.
They've rented out their best mates. It's called Tits and Teeth, and then go in and get Tits and Teeth done.
Jesus,
two for one.
Christ Almighty.
Oh God.
Right, the plot line.
Okay, so the plot line is, right, I reckon this is the easiest way I could say it. A kid gets hexed by a goth so that anytime he has sex with a woman, they immediately get married afterwards or find their true love after him, the next person that be with. That is, and he's like, oh, what a curse.
Yeah, so he becomes well known around town because he's a good luck charm.
Yes.
Because women are sick of dating arseholes. Mm. So they go,
one last arsehole.
If we sleep with him. Yeah, one last arsehole, and then the next man we meet will be the love of our lives, and that'll be us happy.
One last Exeter.
Now, when he gets, right, the very first scene, right, where the goth chick curses him. First of all, why is she at the party?
Yeah.
Right? She shouldn't be at that kid's party, right? There's not, like, as inclusive as you want kids to be, right? And by this point, they're fucking arseholes,
yeah.
Right? Every other kid looks pretty much like your standard American child. You know, like, perfect teeth, fucking gun in hand.
Flak jacket.
And then there's just her. But what I love about it is they don't just make her out a goth. She's a witch. Like, she's a fucking... She's a 9-year-old witch. Like, what is...
By the way, this is a rom-com, apparently, but it's the most... It's filled with stalking and raping, like, and sexual assault. Oh, right, but that...
There are some...
That first...
Dodgy shit.
That first one, even, the kid was... You... You, me, closet, 7 minutes. Remember the one of the kids?
Right. So, when they started playing it, right, I thought they were playing Spin the Bottle, right?
Yeah.
Now, Spin the Bottle, I played maybe twice in my life. And we had a game. I don't know if you had this now. We had a game called Kiss, Cuddle, and Torture.
No, I've heard this, though.
Did you have this? No. Right. Well, you'd chase kids around the playground. And it was a way for kids, like unpopular kids, to get some kind of action. So you'd kiss, you'd run around. If you caught someone, you'd say to them, kiss. Right, basically what you were saying is, kiss, cuddle, and torture. You need to either get off with me, let me cuddle you and touch you up, or I'm going to fucking waterboard you. That was essentially what kiss, cuddle, and torture was. It was smooch. Arsefield or fucking full on Guantanamo, right? That's your three choices.
That'd be great.
But I never realised, I'd only ever seen this. So I looked up Spin the Bottle in America because I was like, have they got different rules for this? But this is a different game. This is a game called 7 Minutes of Heaven.
Oh,
right?
No.
That's apparently really popular with kids.
7 Minutes of Heaven.
Oh,
you gone?
Oh, you're still there?
Yeah.
Aye, aye, sorry, man. You pause for a minute. This is a game, right, that's apparently really, really popular with kids at a certain grade level in America. And the idea is you spin the bottle and whoever you get matched up with, you go in a closet, right? You don't just go in the closet. You get locked in the closet, right? Someone either locks it, if it's got a lock on it, or puts a chair up against the handle. So you cannot escape this closet of rape, right? And then the kids have to basically do whatever they want in there. The only other time I've ever seen it, I saw it, and it's briefly at the start of...
The R. Kelly doc?
You ever seen Teen Wolf?
The R. Kelly doc?
It's briefly at the start of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the lion and the witch go in there and fuck. Have you seen Teen Wolf?
No.
The Michael J. Fox film Teen Wolf. Right, it's in that very briefly. But in that, there is no... It's not as... Bizarrely, they are... When they do it, they're high school students.
Okay.
And it's even less assaulty than it is when these fucking...
Children.
Seventh graders, or whatever they are,
doing. Yeah. It was deeply uncomfortable. Doesn't he talk about tits the whole time in there?
And
you're just watching it going, why is this in this? Why are you getting kids to talk about this? Because it's not funny. It's just uncomfortable. It was...
No.
Yeah, you're just...
It's even, but when he gets put in with a goth chick, she fucking, like, just says, right, get your dick out. And he's like, what? And then she just rips his fucking shirt open, starts scratching him. And you're like, and then he bursts out the door, and that's when she puts the cursor on.
Oh, that's right.
It's a wild start to a film.
Isn't that one where the guy just goes, he's probably in there blowjobbing her?
Yeah.
That was funny. He's probably in there blowjobbing her.
Oh,
I don't giggle at that, but I mean, I reckon, yeah, child sexual assault was a good... What a way to start a film. Sets the tone. Pretty.
It sets the tone, and then you're like thinking, Christ, that was a hell of a start.
Yeah.
The next scene, Dane Cook is on a beach with his girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
And this is, I reckon, about 6 minutes into the film. And then the chick gets topless, right?
Yeah.
One of, I reckon, if I had the heart and the patience, I would go back and watch this film and count the amount of breasts that are actually shown in this film. I have genuinely never seen as many tits in a film in my life. There are more tits in this film than there are in porn. There's more tits in this than actual pornographic films. It's fucking incredible.
This was 70% tits, 30% sexual assault, right? I'll tell you how many tits there was. There's so many tits that it ends up being an odd number.
Oh my god.
There's so many tits it ends up in an odd number. That's how many...
That's incredible. Oh my god, I didn't even think. Oh my god,
that's so
god
funny.
Almighty. But even that scene, right? So you're 6 minutes in and she's got the jebs out, and then you're like going, well, that was quite early. But then they make it even worse because she starts going down to suck him off on the beach, and then she's going, oh, I love you, and she's going, what's wrong? And then he can't say it back, and then she says, here I am licking the sand off your balls. I'm like, what? Who fucking wrote this thing?
Oh my god, oh Jesus Christ, like, I mean, none of the characters you want anything to work out, none of them.
You're just like, none
of you deserve anything. You're all the worst people in the world. Dane Cook's deeply unfunny at the best of times. But like in this, he adds an extra bit of like fucking drama student trying to be funny, doing like, you know, waving his arms at everything. And do you see what Dane Cook looks like now?
No.
Oh man, he's all Botoxed. He looks like a Madame Tussauds version of himself. It's hilarious.
Oh, really?
Dane Cook looks drit. Yeah. Yeah, it's very funny.
Because he's not like leading man.
He's not fucking Jessica Alba.
He's not rom-com. Aye, but he's not rom-com good looking.
No, he's
like, when you consider who would be put in these kind of films at that time, you go, well, you're not matching up to a Gosling. You're not matching up to even a Gerard Butler. You're a fairly standard-looking dude.
I think that this comes along the lines of when Adam Sandler started casting himself along with Jennifer Aniston. You're like, really?
Yeah.
Well, this is this one. Yeah, Jessica Alba and Dane Cook. Because I reckon she would go fucking nowhere near him.
No. Because they meet. So they meet. This is when you first get the idea that any woman that he sleeps with. Because he gets invited, but again, he gets invited to his ex-girlfriend's wedding, right? Now, that's never, ever happening. Like, I do not know anyone in my life at all that has been invited to their ex-partners.
Yeah.
Especially not the person you've just been going out with.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And then, so, for some reason, all these fucking lassies know each other as well, right? Every single woman at this wedding is hot as fuck. Like, there's no ugly women at all. There's no ugly people at this wedding, apart from one guy, right? Well, two dudes, his best pal, and this one guy, right? His ex from 2 ago is now getting married. She then, during the speech, during the toasts, right? People toast the couple and then toast him. They toast an ex-boyfriend at the fucking wedding. And nobody bats an eyelid.
That's right, sorry.
Nobody bats an eyelid at this. Not one person bats an eyelid at that.
For being my good luck charm.
Is
never was, yeah.
And then the one that licking the sand off the balls chick is at the wedding as well. How they know each other, I've no fucking idea. She, right? She catches the bouquet. Right, so that's how you know. All right, she's now gonna get married because the last person she pumped was Dane Cook. She's getting, while she carries a bouquet, she's getting off with a guy that looks like fucking Walter White. Like, this is this old bald dude that she's getting off with in the wedding. And you're like, what the fuck?
He's mad. What a show! What a film! Do you know this was
at the same wedding? Fucking Alba pours hot wax over Dane Cook's dick.
was that what that was? Because when I saw it, she spells champagne, but I hear it burn, and I was like, what type of champagne is this?
No, there was a big massive candle in front of her. Right. She knocks that over, and all the wax, all the puddle of wax just goes all over his crotch.
Great, right. What a thing to drop at a wedding over someone. Did you know this was Stanley Kubrick's first film?
Oh, Christ.
His famous bird scene, you know, space odyssey, and then the dropping of wax.
Good luck.
See, when they said we're going to bring on the hostess with the mostest, I honestly thought you were going to turn up.
What the fuck?
In the wedding, they were like, and now for the hostess with the mostest. And I was like, well, that's Mark. That's Mark's. That's how you demand to be brought on at gigs.
Oh my God Almighty!
The bouquet. See, the bouquet hitting the bird, by the way, and the bird landed not in the kids.
Oh shit! Yeah.
High art.
Oh my God! Oh.
That was a shout out to his next film, probably, The Birds.
There is two funny, but that was quite funny hitting the bird. I laughed a lot when the best pal throws the frisbee and it hits the kid in the face. I thought that was very funny.
Yes.
That was the only time. The actual jokes in this. The best pal, right, might be the most horrible character I have ever seen in any film.
Totally. Meant to be the comedy relief, but just deeply unenjoyable and creepy and weird.
Right. I looked up, right, because I don't know. I know, like, chiropractors can practice without having any real medical credentials.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. I looked up whether plastic surgeons could, and they absolutely cannot.
Yeah.
Right? So this guy has had to take certain oaths as a doctor, right? One of the first things he does in the film that we see is he invites his pal Dane Cook in to look at a naked woman, one of his patients, right? He would have been struck off immediately. Like, literally immediately. You can't invite a stranger in. And he says, why did you do that? And he's like, I just wanted to see some tits without having to pay for it. What?
Can I look at these warlocks? And the funniest, she was fine with it.
Oh, my
so
God.
So stupid.
I don't know how they got so many actresses to agree to go topless. I honestly do not know how. It must have been like, I reckon this must have been like, in terms of like Me Too movement shit, I reckon this and then the fucking Robin Thicke video, that must have been like the two juggernauts where everyone just went, nah, come on now, this is getting silly.
Do you know the worst thing is too? I was about to say, like, they made all the women characters so fucking shallow that it's unbelievable. But then I was like, actually, no, they did it with the lads as well. I forgot, like, just literally every person in this film is just...
Well, here's the thing, right? Because when he says, when he tells the pal about the problem, and he says, like, oh, there's this curse on me, and it basically means that people, women that have sex with me, the next person they find, they'll fall in love with. So the pal's like, ah, this is, like, you're calling this a curse, this is the best thing that has ever happened to you. So he talks him into just pumping everybody, because there's women at this point phoning him up.
Get 108 voicemails one day, remember?
Oh my God. He gets out of a parking ticket because the chick recognises his name. And then, but there's this, like, neither of them, nobody in this is innocent, because the women are clearly using him because they're pumping him because they know there's an end game to it. And he's clearly using them because, there's nobody here that's actually not doing anything
wrong. It's like a weird,
wrong.
It's a weird, like, prostitution.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Why is he not charging for this shit?
So is he.
Like, the amount of money he could have made from that.
That's probably where they'll start getting into it, because then he'd get arrested, wouldn't he? Wouldn't you? Because they'd be like, hold on now, you're doing some sort of scam here. You've convinced everyone that they're going to defend it.
But then even when he gets arrested, you just make sure the judge is a horny single woman, and you, like,
probably,
who's desperate for love.
Probably has her tits out in the court. By how this film goes.
I get dentists earn quite a lot of money, right? How that he seems to have a ridiculous amount of money, considering how much he wastes in this film.
And free time. Right?
Yep. First of all, he's got a kick-ass fucking car. His
great
apartment's
car.
Class, right? So he's taking out these women. This is costing a fair bit, right? Then he starts dating Alba, and then he's worried about losing Alba because, and we'll get to that, but why he thinks he's going to lose Alba. He then becomes like a creepy stalker. And then just starts buying her shit.
Yeah,
So that's going to cost a fortune. And then at the end, she's going to Antarctica. He buys two first class tickets. And the first class tickets come to something like 70 grand. And you're like, what? And he just hands over a credit card. Oh. And you're like, there is no credit card that's got 70 grand on it.
There's no nature that's
it. I don't care what fucking dentist you are. You're not getting 70 grand on a credit card.
That's how shallow this film is. They were like, that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
That's a real... But really, that was the most stalkery thing of all of the mad stalker things that we'll get into. Yeah. I think you're the opposite of good luck, Chuck. Every time you have sex with someone, they get divorced. Nah.
Every time I have sex with someone, they kill themselves.
Imagine if every time you had sex with someone, their partner died. That would be a way darker film.
Oh, my God. That would be incredible.
A knock on the door and some drunken owl lad. No. No. You then start getting sexually assaulted just to try and get your... It's the easiest way to get away with murder.
Oh.
Yeah.
the scene that is, there's a couple of scenes,
yeah,
right, that will stay with me. The montage of shagging when he's been talked into doing this, and it just goes Brady Bunch split screen, yeah, where there's like eight different scenes of him pumping different women in different ways. Like a Rocky training montage with inspirational music in the background. And it's just, and every single one of them's got their tits out. So there's 16 tits already. Yeah. We've already had two at the start. We've had the two there. So we're up to 20 easily by this point, right? That was an incredible scene to behold. Like some of the shit that happens in that, because you've got standard pumping. Yeah. You've got a woman, for some reason, being with her legs behind her head, like actually physically behind her head, and then he folds her arms inside. So she almost becomes she looks like a crisp. Like he's just pumping like a Pringle.
Pretzel.
And then there's a woman actually physically in a wheelbarrow. She's in a wheelbarrow. It's outside in the day, and she's in a wheelbarrow getting horsed by Dane Cook.
It's one of the fucking... Yeah, I can't even remember. Everything had to be ridiculous. Am I thinking of a different film when one of them keeps trying to do dirty talk? Like, fuck me. Fuck me. Is that the...
Yeah, that's in this one.
I don't know why. That came in.
Oh, that is in this.
That was weird. That wasn't...
She becomes demonic. Like, yeah. There's a bit, did you see the joke they do when he pulls off the trousers of some girl and she's got a small pants on and there's this big massive ginger pubes poking out the top of it. And then above it she's got a tattoo that says George W.
Why the fuck was that in the... I don't know why the fuck that was in the film. Just that, do you know...
Like you can just imagine the screenwriters that day going, oh, yes, we need to get a Bush joke in there. Oh, fucking take the rest of the week off, boys. We have nailed this
one. They definitely thought that was unbelievable. Do you know what's excellent, too? We know the part where they found out ways because, Jessica Alba basically just doesn't do nudity, but in this they try their very best to get as much as they could out of her. Like the time when she caught her skirt on the car door and rips her entire fucking skirt clean off. Mind you, my aunt got her skirt cut in an escalator in Letterkenny Shopping Centre and ripped the whole thing clean off her. Should he run into the nearest shop? Like, give me some clothes.
That's amazing.
So I couldn't believe that's actually happened. You know, shout like that in a rom com. I do know somebody. She was alone, so it wasn't that like a rom com.
Yeah.
In the weekly shop and got it torn off. But
do you know there was a guy in our town that got his foreskin caught in an escalator once.
Fucking lies. That is lies. Why? Don't even try and pass that up. What the? How would he get it? Then he just stood up and goes, "Oh, it's a bar mitzvah." It's not even a bar mitzvah. They'll cut your dick off in a bar mitzvah. But anyway, Mazel Tov. Bloody cock. Do you know when she gets her skirt cut off? By the way, her underwear has a penguin on it. But, you know, and she's a penguin trainer, which is which is like us having Jerry Seinfeld boxers.
Yes. Yeah.
Where'd I put my Cosby briefs?
they do because I think I remember reading this about Alba. She does have a no nudity clause, which if you've got a no nudity clause, why the fuck are you anywhere near this film?
Yeah,
because there is no other film it'd be like doing a Tarantino film but having a I don't go near guns kind of clause. Right, that would be the right. So yeah, I'm doing a Tarantino film, but I don't like feet. Well, you're in the wrong fucking film. So,
Great.
They do a scene where she does like a kind of strip tease when he's in the phone.
Yeah, yeah. Tease part. I remember that well.
I bet you do.
I remember that from when I was a kid. All right.
You do see some Alba side boob.
But he overreacts the entire. Not overreacts. He does overreact. He overreacts literally everything in it. But the curling up in the fucking. Mm. She sends him a nude in the bath, and he starts going like, "Ugh." He pretzels inside the bath, and you're like, "This is the worst. This is the
Jesus." The other scenes,
the one that sticks to me, just because I know I'm going to forget it, is when she when the woman cries, she gets close to him, and then tries to molest him in the kitchen.
Oh, I know. Jesus, there's a
it's relentless shit.
When he pumps his secretary.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Right?
So he's got a secretary who, I'm assuming she's found out from the multitude, the harem of women that are hanging about the surgery these days, and he turns up to his house, and then she's got like lingerie on, but she's older, and bigger, like slut's not shy about here because they don't, and then she says, "Oh, just since my husband died, I really wanted love." So, and then she climbs on top of him on a table, right? A table which then collapses because she's so big.
Fucking stupid! What a fella.
But this whole scene, right, goes from really offensive and just take the piss to being really heartfelt. Because she's going, my husband, since I've been a husband, I've not been able to find love. So you go, oh. But she's such a fat bastard that she's just crushed the table. Yay! And then she goes, then she fucking, right. He's like, no, I don't want to do this. And she just goes, just imagine it's somebody beautiful. Right? And he grips her face and just goes, I'll just imagine it's you then. And you go, no, don't try and be heartfelt in a scene which is essentially, this is horrible. Like, this is disgusting. Because they go for that heartfelt thing, right? Where he goes, I'll just imagine it's you then, right? So you go, oh God, that's like a nice moment of what he's doing something for her and she's needing that. It immediately cuts to his pal going, you fucked the secretary? What, you fucked Shamu? And you're like, what? Like, what is this?
There's so much fat shaming in this show. Remember when she has to get that woman, the most ridiculous character, the fat woman by the pool as well? To test out. This is later in the film, isn't it? Basically, when he has to test out if the curse is gone. The only way we'll know is if.
Yeah.
And she's just eating like she goes, "I'm going to ride you till you die." I was like, "What the fuck?" I mean, fuck you to death.
They don't just stop at making her fat. They give her like spots all over her body. She's got like big sores and stuff on her back. Jesus
Christ. Rapist as well. They made her just a mental. I'm going to ride you till you die. I'm like, unbelievable.
He ends up giving her $1,000 to sleep with him.
More money wasted. More money out of his massive paycheck. Do you know, there was two guys, but I found the most unrealistic part was the fact there was two guys playing frisbee in the park, chatting to their... Dude, yeah. That's they were like, we need two used to be chatting about something. We just need some a scene. So imagine us two chatting about fucking comedy, throwing a frisbee to each other. Never would happen.
No.
Literally.
No. You have them having a pint.
Yeah.
Put them having a pint. Put them at a baseball game. Why the fuck are they throwing a frisbee? No, I've never known two lads. If I was to say to anybody, any of my friends, do you want to come to the park to chuck a frisbee about? No, I don't. You fucking weirdo.
Is there trees there? You can dangle yourself off one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, Jesus Christ. The waiting room full of people trying to shag him. It's like, how many people was he banging per day?
Exactly. And what, like, just
I like to again. I like to think he was. I like to think he was like, this curse does. This does not work if I have to wear a condom. Just so you all know. He walks out into the waiting room. Just so you all know. So, any risks that you're on? Actually, you can sign the thing with my secretary. And she's like, she doesn't know what's going on. She thinks they're all there for her teeth at the start. What?
There's so many bits of this that just flip from one idea to another. Like when he goes to visit, if he tracks down the goth witch, right, to basically beg her to take the curse off, right, and he turns up at her door, and she's now attractive, and he's like, it's me, and she goes, I don't know who the fuck you are, and it's like, remember, junior high, we played all that kind of stuff. And then you go, all right, so her thing is that she's basically saying to him, there is no curse. You're just, you end up with who you're meant to end up with. First of all, to get into her house, she asks him to show her his dick. Because you just see the pal watching them on the doorstep and he just drops his trousers. And then she sees the dick and lets him in. Right? And then, so she says, so there's this whole message where she goes, oh, there is no curse. If you're meant to be with someone, you will be with them, right? So you go, all right, so that's the message of the film. And then it cuts to her at the end, going to a shoebox, taking a fucking voodoo doll and taking a pin out of his heart. Like, what?
So he was what? Cursed. And also, there was all her voodoo dolls.
Yeah, there was. Yes, how many people?
It's fucking back. There were all her voodoo dolls. I was like, God, that's so fucked.
Why did no one stop this child?
Jesus. Basically, the idea in this film is he gets so bored of fucking everyone that he decides to fall in love. That's what it is. Yeah. I reckon, though, if it was you, the curse would be everyone would just die lonely. You know? They're like, we're all right.
That's about the third time you've said if the curse was you, that would be.
If you had the curse. I'm thinking of different ways. People would just open the door and like, you know what? Single life's not so bad. Then.
Yeah.
Turn down every day at your apartment door. Streams of people walking into Rotunda Comedy Club. Waiting for a chance to pump you.
My favourite scene in the whole film.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you saw this. I didn't see it, right? So the very second this film finished, I turned it off immediately, right? Because it's on Prime. I turned it off immediately. Today, I went back. I was watching something on Prime, right? It's a TV show called Nip Tuck from the 90s. It's about plastic surgeons.
I remember Nip Tuck, yeah. I remember it was Channel 5. It was a Channel 5.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot darker than
I think it was on after Grey's Anatomy for a while.
Yeah, so I was going to watch the rest of an episode of that, but because Good Luck Chuck had stopped before it ended, it was still sitting there in the most recently played. So I accidentally hit that. Right. Now, at the start of the credits, there is an extra scene. Did you watch the extra scene?
The extra scene? Tell me I might have. I must have. Did I?
This will blow... Well, I assume
eating the penguin's ass?
Yes, Ryan. Eating the penguin's ass. One of the wildest... There's
Marvel cut
so
scene.
Much about this scene the pal, by this point, is now married to a woman with three tits.
odd number of tits, right? Yeah.
Because he loves tits so much, the only woman he can love is someone with an extra tit.
His apartment, by the way, his workplace is full of pictures, of painted pictures of tits and Pamela Anderson tits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he buys Pamela Anderson's silicon implants. He buys them off the internet. And they're not even kept in like a sterile condition. They're kept in a display box. And you go, that wouldn't, they'd grow mold or something. They wouldn't be in this kind of, you don't keep them on your fucking shelf. Like, they'd need to be kept, I'm assuming, in some kind of ice box or pack to keep them preserved.
So good.
I thought, to be honest, the CGI they did with the three tits, I was quite impressed with.
Yeah, it was better than Total Recall's.
It was better than Total Recall. I mean, obviously, the effects for mammaries has massively come on leaps and bounds since Total Recall, but I was quite impressed with that. So, them two, fucking pervy Jim and three tits, are now a couple. They're house-sitting for Chuck and Alba. And then, so he's searching about, and she says, what are you looking for? And he was like, sex tapes. Right, so first of all, you're going, why the fuck are you wanting to watch your pal pumping? Genuinely, what is wrong with you as a human being? Right? He finds one, right? Whacks it on. She's sitting there topless, just so you can remember that she's got three tits. Yeah.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Then, it's him and Alba starting, getting down to it, right? And then suddenly, a fucking toy penguin appears. And Alba asks him, and it goes, I didn't think it was going to go as far as it actually does. I thought him dirty talking to the penguin was going to be enough. Then he starts tonguing it on the beak. Then he lays it back, right? And he's like, just relax, right? And then starts going down on the penguin. All the while, Alba's like going, oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's so dirty, right? And then it takes an even bigger turn. By this point, this is the most mental scene ever. And then it takes another point where he flips over and just starts licking the penguin's ass. But then starts getting domineering towards it, where he turns its head round and makes the penguin look at him while he's licking its ass. What the fuck is this?
Well, what a way to shit on your... Because it's very funny. It's during credits too. So imagine your big break in Hollywood and your name's coming up. You're trying to show.
Oh, this is me. This is me.
Trying to show your parents. Production designer, Ryan Cullen, and there's a penguin being tongued out of it.
This is your first ever role as Key Grip. You've got your parents round, your grandparents. Here it comes. Dane Cook's rimming a penguin.
For fuck's sake. I have another darker theory about this too. I think that he only likes her because, right, he brings her for ice cream and he makes her watch Planes as a date. So I think he thinks she's disabled.
That's why she's so clumsy.
She's not right, you know. Or maybe she's knocked herself out so many times she is now disabled. But anyway, he thinks she's disabled because that's what he keeps bringing her out to do. What did he, there was a partner where he goes, what's your type? And he was like, black and blue. Fucking.
Yeah. I honestly can't. It like, genuinely, I know some people had said today online that that this was one film they hadn't seen. Because this passed me by when I was growing up. I was fucking 26 when this was released, so it'd have been worrying if I'd have got to see this. But genuinely, people were saying, it doesn't sound like I want to watch it. Please put yourself through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to realise how incredibly bad this actually
is. Yeah, he gets worse as well at acting the Holy Fruit. Dane Cook gets slowly, slowly worse, which is really hard to do. But yeah, apart from all the...
For a comedian, for none of the jokes in this film to work, not one of them works. Not one of them lands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awful.
Oh, God.
There's a joke where she's talking about what penguins eat, and she's giving him all the penguin chat, and he goes, "Oh, I thought they'd just go out and get themselves a macro burger." And you go, That's like what, and he delivers it like that's going to be a fucking killer. That's going to be the line that, oh Jesus, wait till I drop the macro burger. Like, oh,
I just have a, when I just had a fucking note here, and it was like the gross sexual malpractice of licking tits of his patients before he makes them bigger. Does he lick tits? I don't remember the licking the tits.
Yes, yeah. I think he probably
does. I don't remember. And I just said, why is the hot woman doing it with him? Because like, your man's not cursed. He's just a fucking ugly bastard.
Yeah, yeah. There's at one point the pal says that he masturbates to mammograms. I mean, literally, just...
Oh, fuck it. Do you know,
sickening.
Most of the rom-coms, much like the Notebook, this is also basically... disrespect and boundaries set is essentially what Ollie's rom-com.
Yeah.
That's, again, I'll kill myself if you're, you know, this one was basically stay away from me, and he went and got a job as a penguin instructor of some sort. He gets a job in the place. He gets fucking, he just follows around. It's pretty weird.
There's no, from the four or five, if we're counting Love Actually as a rom-com as well, Of the rom-coms they've done, there is not one character in a rom-com that isn't a belly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not one.
Yeah.
I've not found one likable character in any of these films.
Yeah, yet. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, even, there's so much, there's just so many levels of bad stuff. Even when he pulls his cock out to the woman that hexed him, her kid was also behind.
Mm-hmm.
It was the kid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. The kid's just listening into them talking about it as well.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He
And how is a woman as well that is now recognised as an actual witch, how has she managed to settle down with such domesticity to have a child? How is she living in the suburbs where... And I'm assuming the dad's still around. So when they were moving, because they couldn't have got into that... That's a nice house. They couldn't have started in that nice house, right? So when they're moving, at what point is he going to go, see that fucking black shoebox with the star of the Antichrist on it? Are you needing that? Yes. Yes, that's very, very... What the fuck are these Sanskrit writings on the front of it? Why are you chanting backwards? I don't know if I want to have a child with you. You fucking witch.
They're like listening to the Beatles backwards. He goes, no, it's not backwards. I played it backwards, then forwards, and then backwards again. One of the guy's ideas was to marry her while she's asleep.
Yeah. That's...
The priest would be asking some questions. We're just avoiding the curse. We're just avoiding... Oh, God. Yeah. The last thing I kind of have here is the fact that she was like, you have to let go. Remember, they're like, you have got to let go of her. And his idea to let go was to ring up the book guy to set him up with Jessica Alba. That's not letting go. Just pimp her out. That's insane. That's like, that's so fucked up. That's not it. That's not letting go. It's the complete opposite.
Yeah. See that, because she makes a thing about this. I know Sloss used to do material on this, where there's a thing about penguins where a penguin will search the entire tundra for the perfect pebble for the mate, because they're like monogamous creatures. I think that'll be why they use penguins in this, as opposed to she's just into fucking antelopes or some shit, right? So... At the end, he gives her a box, a ring box.
I see.
And it makes her look like, because he's such a psychopath, they're like, oh, he's giving her a ring now. And it's a pebble. It's a perfect pebble.
I see.
And I was like praying that, because this was so mental, I was praying it was just like a wee jobby inside.
It would be like the seventh most crazy thing they have happened in this film.
Exactly. Yeah.
Totally believable. Totally believable. Oh, nobody was good. Nobody was fun. Everybody was deeply enjoyable. No. Creepy, weird bastards. No. The comedy relief in a comedy film was also not funny. Disaster straight from.
I'll never watch this film ever again. Never. unless it's to show someone how shite it is. Yeah. But fuck me. What? Oh, my God. I almost hate you for making me watch it, but I also like the fact that we've been allowed to talk about it because...
I remember it in my head and I go, I remember that being dreadful when I was a teenager, so maybe it's the same.
I'm fucking amazed you found it in a charity shop.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not amazed that someone gave it away, but I'm like amazed anyone bought it in the first place.
I saw Good Luck Chuck and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe... Yeah. They're like unrated.
Anyway. Oh, Christ. Oh, we've not even talked about the fact that he pumps a grapefruit. The pal drills a hole in a grapefruit, puts it in the microwave to warm it up, and then fucks it while he's got what is like a shoe polish brush up his ass to tickle his prostate. Like, a grapefruit isn't a grape, it's a citrus fruit. It would sting like fuck. Like, I'm saying this as if I'm an expert. There's so many other large fruits that you could pump.
And if you're there...
A watermelon would be...
Yeah, and if you're also there...
Oh, no, you can't do it.
Yeah, you're the seeds.
You can't do a watermelon. Yeah, you can't do the watermelon.
Next time you come, you're taking it out.
Yeah.
Smash a window.
But like a cowboy. A honeydew melon. I think that would be my fruit of choice.
And you also, if you're in the just get a cucumber or something if you're going to do the whole prostate thing as well. While you're there,
exactly.
You mix in implements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stick to fruit. Or it'd be fine if he was using that and then he was just having a wank with a pair of tongs. I'd be like, all right, at least it...
This is
sticking...
Oh, Jesus.
Right, well, that...
I totally forgot about that. He pumped a grapefruit.
There's too much in it. All right.
That's... Right.
That's pretty...
Next week is my choice, and I don't have it. It's sitting through in the room, and I don't want to go and wake up my wife to get it. But we are doing the... I think this is the first Tom Cruise film we've done.
Yeah.
I think it's... Yeah. I don't think we've done one, but so we're doing Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Next week, which is class. So that should be good fun. So you're obviously in Australia every night, best of British.
Don't even start. I'm still getting messages about it. Like, and you've started other people doing it. Anytime I put it up, people are just sending emojis of like Union Jacks, and I'm like, fuck off. Yeah.
You honestly think I've not told people specifically to do it?
It's just like, fucking leave it out, people. Leave it out. Somebody at the show, by the way, was a massive Absolute Cuts fan.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. That's good, because I have noticed our numbers haven't been going up in Australia thus far. So, quite a bit of work to do there, Ryan.
All right. Welcome every time I go on holidays, basically. It's like, we'll see if Ryan's got any pull whatsoever here. We got one from Dubai.
So what time every night?
I'm at 8:15 every night. Bar, it turns to 7 o'clock from March 3rd, but I'm also doing shows at like 2:30 sometimes and 5:45, and there's a late show at 10:45 sometimes. So there's a couple. That's at the weekends mostly, but every night there tends to be one at 8:15, basically.
Grand. When do you reckon this will go out?
This is going out tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, I'll have this out.
Tomorrow?
Because I can do it during the day. The funny thing is, it'll be pure during the day for you, or during the night for you guys, during the day here, so I can go about my day and do it later.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at dates. Well, once you get this, if you are in Elgin or Inverness, then come along to tour shows. Elgin has 25 tickets left, and Inverness has about 35, I think.
Yeah.
And then weekend after that is Birmingham at the Glee on the 9th of March, and on the 10th of March, it's Alexander's in Chester.
Nice.
But and then I'll fill you in about all the other ones after that.
I feel like if I can't tell if this even worked the video wise, you know. So if this is going up on YouTube, we have to thank our sponsor StreamYard. It just says there's a like powered by StreamYard.
Yes, thank you StreamYard.
Yeah,
StreamYard for all your man's specific needs.
Sponsors of all.
But yeah, again, thanks so much for listening. You made last week's Armageddon episode was our most popular yet by quite some distance. So cheers for that. I hope you've enjoyed this fucking car crash of a film. I'm as excited as you to see how this video
comes out.
So, well, enjoy the zoo.
Have to get fucking Stanley Kubrick in to do
If you see a red panda, then take a photo of a red panda and we'll stick it up on the socials.
I fucking will.
Get Mick or Mickey to
hold it down.
Fucking Mickey will probably fight the cunt. So
exactly.
Right. Say hello to the boys for me as well, and we shall see you for another episode, Hands Across the Water, next week. Thank you. Bye bye.